Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome once again to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
So Batman is a great name for a guy who can see via echolocation, and Daredevil is a great name for a billionaire vigilante. Welcome to comics. Before we get too heavy into the I want to thank Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S. plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games. With membership options for every budget, plus their store carries Legos and some of the most popular arcade one-up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can choose from and just send back when you're done in the postage paid envelope for a new one. Keep it forever and play it and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now at the link at geekcavepodcast.com. How we doing, boys?
Really? I'm okay.
Yeah. We are.
It's the new year.
Yeah, we're taping this on January 1st, 2022, right after Betty White looked 2021 in the eye, said, "I'm taking you with me, you son of a bitch," and they both plunged into Mordor.
I mean, she already fought the Balrog to go from Betty the Gray to Betty the White, so I wonder what she'll come back as this time.
But that's my headcanon. She didn't die.
Betty the Rainbow. Betty the Rainbow.
Ooh.
So anyways, Darren, speaking of interpreting, you got anything for us?
Hold on. Just gotta take this pill.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
All right. I don't know how I... Welcome to Darren's first time. I don't know how I keep doing this. But every month, I try to find a first issue of a comic that I can love and desire to explore every inch of. And every month, it seems I've developed a new type of comic book-related STD. So, maybe I should see a doctor. Hence, I picked up The Chronicles of Dr. Herbert West, a Zenoscope published update of the classic H.P. Lovecraft story, Herbert West Reanimator.
Oh, no.
And,
oh, wow.
And, ah, dang it.
Oh, no.
So, this book starts off with one of the most completely over-the-top examples of the classic either there is no God or he hates you trope that I have ever seen. We start with a family leaving church, talking about how God loves you, but if you disobey him, you'll be sent to hell. You know, the usual not quite argument that I won't get into right now. One of the kids stops to tie his shoe. The mom, who is carrying his sister on her back, turns around to see why he stopped, breaks the heel of her shoe, tumbles into the street, and lands right in the path of a speeding bus. The resulting impact and just inconceivable amount of blood left behind. It's almost like they had swallowed grenades right before they were hit by the bus. I in fact, showed this comic to a police officer that I know. And he has worked a lot of fatal crashes. And the first thing he did was laugh at just how ridiculous the scene was. Like, if you've read Invincible, think that level of gore, except somehow even more Looney Tunes.
Oh.
Yeah. I have covered fatal accidents myself in my day job, and I have never seen anything like this. Like, bag of meat hit with a sledgehammer kind of stuff. And anyway, naturally, this little boy grows up to become a psychopath obsessed with reanimating.
Oh, God, he's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
There's more movie.
So
there's more comic.
This boy grows up to become a psychopath obsessed with reanimating the dead, because in comics, that's how you cope with you witnessing the deaths of a loved one at an early age. You either dress like a giant bat or you become a mad scientist, and Batman is copyright DC Comics. So
it really does speak to the importance of therapy.
It really does.
As a necessary component of mental health.
Yes, yeah. Agreed.
So he ends up becoming a brilliant medical student and starts experimenting with a serum that can bring the dead back to life. And naturally, the lame experts at his university are all, yeah, sounds like a bad idea. You should stop it, Herbert. But what do they know, man? So he's also got this hot female assistant, because it is a Zenoscope book. And she's totally into him, but nothing must stand in his quest to make a different kind of bone stand up, if you know what I mean. Sorry, but if I don't make jokes, I have nothing to talk about, because the book is a whole lot of nothing. Whole lot of talking, with only the last panel or two having anything of interest, because his serum starts to have various degrees of success. And by various degrees, I mean, well, the dead are back, kinda. If you're not familiar with the publisher, Zenoscope made their name doing reimaginings of Grimm's fairy tales, Alice in Wonderland, Snow White, only with them being tall, curvaceous, with huge tracts of land, and wearing tight-fitting spirit Halloween versions of their traditional costumes. You know.
Yeah, all right.
You know, like how women were presented in comics during the 90s, only shinier. The jaded side of me thinks that those books, at least the ones I've read, are fine if a little shallow. But man, I could have used some shallow stuff in this one. Because while the art is fine, at least some heterosexual teen boy tempting TNA would have been less boring than this issue was. And apparently I'm not alone. This was planned as a 6-issue miniseries, but as of 2012, only 3 issues have been published. If you're bad enough to be canceled by Zenoscope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Herbert might be decent. I guess he might be decent at making the dead rise. But as far as first times go, you might need some help keeping your interest up.
Have you seen the movie?
No,
Reanimator?
I haven't.
Darren, have you seen the movie Reanimator?
No. And after this, I don't want to.
Okay. Okay, you're right to not want to.
Okay.
Justin, I'm sorry.
It's on the list now, isn't it?
Oh boy, is it on the list. I got to find the unrated cut. Because there is a scene in the unrated cut that is just so absurdly awful that I can't be the only one with those images in my head.
You have other friends, you know this, right?
Yeah, but they don't watch movies with me.
All right, fine.
I do have another book to review, but it's a good review, so I'll save that till later.
Okay, well, actually, I was going to go into reviews right now.
Okay, all right.
So,
cool.
Go for it.
I also read Nightwing Leaping into the Light, which is the first volume after DC did their whole Infinite Frontier thing. It's issues 78 through 83. Tom Taylor is doing the writing, and it kind of explores the fallout from when Nightwing got shot in the head and had an identity crisis and thought his name was Rick for a while. And the less said about that story arc, the better. In fact, there's several jokes about that story arc in this writing, including Dick referring to it as, boy, that just sounds like a really bad comic book plot. So essentially, this takes place shortly after the death of Alfred during the Joker War.
Okay.
Well, not the Joker War, when Bane took over the city. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah. Turns out that Alfred was a secret billionaire because he had been given a bunch of Wayne investment stock after Thomas died, and he invested it wisely. And he left all of it to Dick Grayson because he knew that Dick was a good man who would do the right thing with the money. So Dick, first thing he does is take Barbara Gordon out for pizza, only orders one slice for each of them, is reminded that he's now a billionaire, so he orders two slices for each of them.
You know what? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That, yes.
He meets a homeless...
That's a power play right there.
He meets a homeless man and his son who are asking for spare change. Dick doesn't carry any cash on him, but what he does do is tell the homeless guy, come back with as many people as you can find, and he throws an impromptu pizza party, as in he buys pizza for, I don't know, a couple hundred people. Just keeps paying for the pizza, and it's a great moment. He even gets pickpocketed at one point because, well, you know, some people just are like that. Tracks down the kids. Turns out that they're living in this little kind of tent city, and decides, I know what I'm going to do with the money. I'm going to set up something called the Alfred Pennyworth Foundation that will pay everyone in Bloodhaven a livable wage. It will raise people out of poverty. It will provide free education and free health care. And we're going to make this city an example of what can be done when the right people, when good people, do the right thing. So that's a pretty awesome idea.
So F you, Bruce?
Kinda. In fact, you know, when he makes this announcement, it's established earlier on in the book that there is a Bat Family group text chat that you need to stay off of because Cassandra Cain, orphan slash one of the Batgirls, speaks in nothing but emojis. And she is addicted to emoji usage. And it's like a half a page of emojis whenever you see a text message from her. So that's pretty fun. But... you know, at one point when him getting pickpocketed makes it to the Bat chat because Barbara shared it, his phone just starts blowing up, and it's one of the most hilarious exchanges. And I'm not going to spoil anything; you just need to read it. But Bruce is part of the Bat chat, so that's fun. But other things that happen in this story, we kind of get a rekindling of the Dick Grayson Barbara Gordon romance. Nightwing saves a puppy from some muggers who are just kicking around a puppy because they're psychopaths. That dog now is known as Bitewing.
Of course it is.
Yep. It's a three-legged puppy with one eye. Bitewing. I like it. And we are introduced to a new villain who seems to be obsessed with stealing the hearts of good people. And so, I mean, literally, he's got a gun that will burrow into your chest and take your heart. And he's got quite a collection going on. And now that Dick Grayson has made this announcement of helping everyone in Bloodhaven, well, now he's got a target on his chest. Oh, and also Dick Grayson has a sister now, and her last name is Zuko. And if you know anything about the DC Comics history of Dick Grayson, you know why that last name is important. I won't spoil anything other than that, other than to say it's an interesting reveal. And overall, Nightwing leaping into the light is a great starting point for people who have not been reading Nightwing. The art's great. The writing is fantastic. It's not a super high action first volume because a lot of it is just kind of setting up the status quo, but it's well worth taking a look at.
Nice.
Well, for most of the comic's history, she's been searching for the Avatar.
Different Zuko.
Of course it's a different Zuko.
Z-U-C-C-O.
I'm sure this one already has her honor intact.
She does, actually. Probably. Yeah. She's pretty honorable. Yeah.
So I've been digging into a Comixology original called The All-Nighters.
Okay.
Vampires. They're real, but they're kept hidden away. Like, they've made an arrangement to not do that anymore. And so a group of vampires have opened up an all-night diner. Because, you know.
Because you do.
And it allows them to live amongst the humans while not being suspicious, because they're the night crew of the diner. Well, they range in physical age, because, you know, you stay the same age of which you returned, and, you know, actual years old. And the two, quote, younger ones decide... Everything is just so boring. I'm tired of this. And decide to use their powers to become superheroes.
Okay.
So they don outfits and they go out and start fighting bad guys. The problem is now all the other creatures that have kind of taken the, okay, yeah, we'll settle down and be quiet, have decided that's a great loophole. Let's exploit it.
Oh, boy.
And so you've got trolls and other things putting on costumes and starting to wreak havoc in the city.
Hmm.
And the cops are trying to figure out what's going on while the group responsible for keeping all of the monsters in check are now out for, well, blood, essentially, because there's a lot of no-nos going on.
There is no good thing that can't be corrupted.
Yes. So it's only got like 3 or 4 issues out now. It's worth your time to look into. The first issue is a little slow, but after that it kind of starts picking up. So if you're a fan of vampires and, you know, superheroes, it's a good read.
Awesome.
Chad, have you read anything lately?
No. I mean, I've been reading some. No.
Okay. Well, do you have anything?
Sure.
This is Chad's manga moment.
I really kind of got out of manga over the Christmas break.
Okay.
And so I was just reading through some of the back comics, yeah, because you bought me graphic novels and so forth,
yeah,
for Christmas over the years and so forth. And really, I just have maybe kind of a stupid question.
Okay. Well, there are no stupid questions, but.
Okay. Why does Batman without a cape look naked?
Well, you see,
this has been Chad's manga moment.
With the cape and the flapping and the, you know, I'm going to get back to you.
Okay.
Well, on that note, it's time to play everybody's favorite game. What the Duck?
Yes!
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes!
I haven't had time to write music yet.
Quack, quack.
So, What the Duck is a very simple concept. I have taken super comic book character names, auto-corrected them, and written a new description based on that new name, and the boys have to decide what that new name is.
Hmm.
And for added fun, every time you get it right.
For those who don't have the joy of seeing this because audio podcast, the bell that Justin has introduced has it's bright yellow and it has the smiley face on it.
Yeah, on both sides. So everybody gets to see it.
It's a very friendly bell and I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. All right, so for the first one, Charles Xavier wants to save the mutant world. He also jumps in and out of relationships more than Scrooge McDuck swims in his money bin. But that works to his advantage, for when there's danger, Charles calls upon his former partners by saying, "To me, my..."
X-Men?
X's?
Points for spelling.
E-X.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
X-Men, E-X-Men.
Nice, all right.
All right, moving on. Dan Garrett, Ted Kord, Jaime Reyes grew up together in London, England. They loved music, and this brought them together as friends. After a few rough starts, they convinced Ringo to join the band, and the rest is history.
The Blue Beatles.
Yes, the Blue Beatles.
Hey, where's my bell? Come on.
Sorry. All right. Possessing the ability to transform himself into any type of large meal, Gar Logan is a hit at weddings, bar mitzvahs, and any celebration. The only downside is all the food is green.
Buffet boy?
No.
Mm.
Read it again.
Okay. Possessing the ability to transform himself into any large type of meal, Gar Logan is a hit at weddings, bar mitzvahs, and any celebration. The only downside is all the food is green.
I think Darren's got it now.
Obese boy.
What?
Obese boy?
No, I'm sorry. I was looking for feast boy.
Oh, son of a... Okay.
Feast boy.
That's fair.
Need the buzzer.
Yeah, I mean, the smorgasbord thing made me think buffet, and then, okay, well, what happens if you're always turning into food? I don't know. You're fat? I don't know.
Yeah. He's not eating the food. He just becomes food.
Yeah. Well, I've become food, but unfortunately, that just means...
All right, finally. Michael Maxwell possesses great strength, speed, hunting, and tracking abilities. He can communicate with animals and merge up to four animals together to form a chimera. He also wears a very weird outfit. He can also transform into a 1950s novelty holiday song about wanting a large semi-aquatic mammal from Africa for the winter solstice festival.
So that's the hippopotamus thing. Some kind of Dr. Moreau-ish merging things. I got nothing.
I'm glad
we started with X-Men.
I was thinking of Animal Man, but like the hippopotamus thing is just throwing me.
Can Animal Man form, take two creatures and turn them into one new creature?
No, that's Buona Beast. That's Buona Beast, but I can't come up with it.
Well, between the two of you, you got it right. Buona Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, get out.
So we each get half a point.
I guess we're tied. All right.
Thank you for playing What the Duck.
Oh, man. That is brutal.
I still enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it.
Oh, well, I'm glad because I bought the bell. It's a feature that's staying in.
All right. So, hey, if you are on our Discord, which you can join through the link at dkpodcast.com, help Justin out with some suggestions for this one because it's around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I will always take suggestions. You don't even have to write the new description. Just kind of give me ideas for names. Oh, and speaking of things that have great names, Kent.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So... It's the new year. It's snowing outside. Here, anyway. It's a magical time of year, so I thought we'd start the year off by talking about one of the great mystical comic book characters, the Phantom Stranger.
Okay.
First appearing...
Isn't that when you use your non-dominant hand?
No, that's just the Stranger.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you have to sit on it first so it falls asleep.
Right.
And we won't go any more into that.
Ask your parents.
Don't ask your parents. Urban Dictionary is your friend.
Kids under the age of 15, don't do that either. Come back in a few years and
you'll get it.
Anyway,
Alexa, set alarm for
Oh God. Phantom Stranger first appeared in 1952. And was created by John Broome and Carmine Infantino. Unusual for a comic book character of such longevity, nothing is in the way of his personal data has ever really come to light. His real name, his true nature, his origins. They've never been fully revealed. However, in DC's Secret Origins, Volume 2, Number 10... several possible origins were postulated, so let's kind of go through those. The first one, in a variation of the Wandering Jew story, a man named Isaac and his wife Rebecca.
Did you just say the Wandering Jew?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that...
Nope, just making sure I heard it right.
Yes, you did. A man named Isaac and his wife Rebecca and their young son in Bethlehem during the time of Jesus' childhood. When King Herod heard that there was born a child who would become king of the Jews, he ordered the massacre of the innocents in order to kill the Christ child.
Yep.
Among these people killed were Isaac's wife and son. Blind with anger, he spends the next 30 years raging against Jesus. During the Passion, Isaac bribes a guard to let him take the place and participate in the flogging of Christ. Jesus condemns Isaac to tarry in this world until I come back. Centuries after the execution, Isaac repents. He has spent his lifetime helping mankind ever since, eventually finding the task so agreeably fulfilling that in the present day, the late 1980s, by this point, he politely declines to an offer from God to release him from his penance. So he's been wandering the earth helping people because, he was a jerk.
Huh.
Option number two. He was a man in biblical times who was spared God's wrath by an angel. Questioning God's actions, he commits suicide. The angel forbids his spirit from entering the afterlife, reanimating his body, and condemns him to walk the world forever as part of humanity, but also forever separated from it. The angel also erases the man's memories of his past life. He then discovers his divine charge and turn humanity away from evil one soul at a time.
That's a lot of work.
Yep. Option three. The Phantom Stranger is a being caught in a time loop. Near the end of the universe, the Phantom Stranger approaches a group of scientists who are trying to transfer energy from the Big Bang to extend the life of the universe. The Stranger realizes that one of the scientists is really an avatar of anti-life, and that their efforts to prevent the will be preventing the universe from ever existing. The story concludes with the Phantom Stranger passing a portion of himself to a scientist who diverts the power through the portal to the Big Bang, intercepts the beam, and becomes the Phantom Stranger, completing the cycle.
Actually, I've heard a fourth version.
Yeah, I've got four.
Okay, cool. I thought you only had three. My bad.
No, that was number three. Number four... the Phantom Stranger was a fallen angel who sided with neither heaven nor hell during Lucifer's rebellion and thus condemned to walk Earth alone for all time. In the comic book miniseries, The Trenchcoat Brigade, John Constantine sees that this fourth origin is essentially correct. Now, these are all pre-52 origin stories. In his earliest appearances, the Phantom Stranger would prove supernatural events to be hoaxes perpetrated by criminals. He would directly confront the villains and display no supernatural abilities apart from his uncanny ability to appear when and where he needed and disappear just as mysteriously, kind of like Batman in a sense. In later stories, the supernatural events were real and the Phantom Stranger was given unspecific superhuman powers to defeat them. For an example, he was able to control a smoke-based sedative with a gesture, claiming the smoke itself is an ally. It wasn't until his second series that the Phantom Stranger truly became a superhero. He has assisted the Justice League on numerous occasions, even being formally elected to the group, although he didn't acknowledge his membership for quite some time. He also had his own limited run where he tries to foil Eclipso's plan to cause nuclear war. In early comic book appearances, the Stranger would wear like a black trench coat over a black suit and black tie, but now the familiar cape with rolled turtleneck sweater and gold medallion is kind of more prevalent. His relationship with other mystic heroes is usually a bit tense. The Stranger has no qualms gathering various forces in order to combat a certain evil, but often invading those people's personal lives. However, he does not usually reciprocate when they come to him. He has resisted such people as Dr. Fate, and many others who come to his help. Despite all this, he does get along with Zatanna. In fact, several times referring to her as my dear. So they're on good terms. Since he is ultimately an unpredictable force, others are often meet him with distrust. Nevertheless, most will follow him, seeing that he has immense power, and in the end, he is a force for good. In the new 52, things got a little bit weird.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
It was implied that he was Judas Iscariot and part of the Trilogy of Sin with Pandora and the Question. While not named explicitly, he wears a necklace presumed to be made from the 30 silver pieces that he received to portray Jesus. His hair and eyes became totally white from the experience. It is later revealed that he is, in fact, Judas, and it takes a very long time. Finally, one of those 30 pieces falls away, so it's like, okay, he's on the start of being able to not do this anymore. The nature of his powers are mysterious as the stranger himself, who seems to be effectively immortal, never aging. He demonstrates enormous power and capabilities, and the exact origin of which undetermined. He can travel enormous distances in a very short period of time and through realms between heaven and hell themselves. He is probably one of the few immortals in the DC universe, actually incapable of being killed. When he was attacked by the Spectre in the Day of Vengeance storyline, the Stranger expressed doubt that even the Spectre could kill him, mysteriously adding, "I doubt the universe would allow it." So, there's everything you never wanted to know about the Phantom Stranger.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, the only origin of his I was familiar with was the New 52 one, because I never really got the Phantom Stranger.
Yeah, that's you know, he's very mysterious. That's part of it.
That's a part of the point. I get it. Yeah.
It is interesting that a lot of his origins deal with with a biblical sense.
Right.
So, I want to take a minute to thank our sponsors again, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows, You Want Me to Watch What, and coming up in a few weeks, Darren and I have a new pet project.
Oh,
week
yeah.
Week 3 podcast.
Yes.
Where every third week of the month, Darren and I will talk about whatever it is we want to talk about.
Whatever the hell we want.
There are no rules. Okay, there are some rules, but mostly it's for editing purposes.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Everything is fair game to talk about.
No subject off the table.
Nope. And also, there's the sporadic TLDR. On YouTube, we have Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Did I forget anything?
Nope.
In terms
hi, Lori.
Of our shows. Yeah. Hi, Lori. Also, hi to Geek Cave Liz and Geek Cave Mel. Hello, yep. Ladies.
Yep. Liz and Mel help out greatly with the website.
Look for us on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Discord. Links to all of these and much more can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. And say hi when you get there.
Please.
And be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services of choice. And recently just added to the list of good pods.
Yeah, leave us a tip.
And now, gentle listeners, here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see Colonel Sanders walking out of a raging fire. He is carrying what appears to be a metallic KFC bucket with a dome on it, fastened tightly. He looks very angry and says, "What are y'all gawking at? This ain't my first barbecue."
I have read that book.
For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the Wonderful World of Comics, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.